If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. We are thankful to see this good number this morning. Glad to have visitors with us. Appreciate your prayers. I know you've been praying for me, and I'm thankful that you have. I did get to go and preach at a church this morning. They asked me to come over. They were without pastor, and God knows the name and the need, but it's definitely a church that's in great need of the Lord's blessings and the Lord's leadership. So be much in prayer, and God knows that church again. Psalms 51, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Psalms 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now, one thing I want to point out as we read this is David. This is the man after God's own heart. We're not talking about some worldly man, some lost sinner somewhere. We're talking about a man of God that has made at least a portion of his life. He's made some terrible mistakes in his life. He made these mistakes after that he was saved. No doubt he was saved probably as a young boy. No doubt even maybe as a shepherd boy he was saved. And yet he's dealing with some things in his life. You know, I thought about the cleaning supplies that we have now, the ways we have to disinfect. A lot different now than it was just a few years ago. A lot different than it was, you know, when our grandparents were, whenever they were coming up. And even the way we clean is different now. You know, I just take something as simple as the soap we use. A lot better now than it used to be. You mechanics that go out to the shop and get all greasy. Well, ain't you glad they invented Goop? That stuff works pretty good compared to what we had at one time. It used to just be a chore to get grease off of you. Now you can just about wipe it off easy as running water over it when you got that Goop. And I thought about even the dishwashing liquid we have now. Used to, you had to scrub dishes, just scrub them. And now you put a little Dawn on them and it won't take long. You just wipe the stuff right off. It works good. You know, we've come a long ways from the old, Red Devil Eye that they used to go down to the creek, have to pull out that Red Devil Eye and put on the clothes and scrub, maybe a washboard and scrub, and just had to, it really had more elbow grease than it was the disinfectant that you had to get it clean. And so when I think about cleaning with hyssop, I want to kind of get a picture of that. Hyssop is a type of mint. It's in the mint family. It's got a different smell than what we think of as mint, but it's in the mint family. And you take, and you know, they would take hyssop and they would mix it with different other herbs, and basically it was arm power, just your arm strength that you got something clean. And of course, it maybe left a little mini smell at the end of it. So David has committed sin, and we know this sin, no doubt, was with Bathsheba, that he went into her, committed adultery with her. And that sin in itself, and that is a terrible thing. You don't want to try to underestimate or downplay sin this morning. Sin is bad. Adultery is a sin against the body. Fornication is a sin against the body. We would know this. It's a little different than other sins would be. And yet he's committed sin with Bathsheba, and he immediately tried to conceal it. And Brother Bud, that is a problem in itself. It is separate from the adultery. Whenever you make a mistake, the next mistake is trying to cover it up. And so he's made a mistake, and rather than come clean, rather than be punished for even the crime, really, that he's committed against a man's wife, he decides we're going to cover this up, just cover the matter, conceal the matter. And so he went to great lengths to cover up his transgression. But the list began to add up. It wasn't just adultery. There was lies. And lies is sin. You know, and we shouldn't tell even little, what we call little white lies. We shouldn't do that. You say, well, this lie benefits this situation. It is a lie. It never benefits the situation. You don't sin to get out of sin and think that that's a benefit. It just doesn't work that way. So next, there's murder. At least he consent to the death of her husband. Let's get him out of the way. Things will be clear. So you add murder to the list. Again, a man after God's own heart, and he's piling himself up a list. Now, there's some other things, some underlying things here that we probably don't ever think about, but you've got to consider there's pride. Pride's played into this, Philip, definitely. His name's at stake, and I've got to keep my name clean. And I, you can just see the pride that's swelling up inside of him. I'll do what I want when I want. Nobody's going to tell me I can't sleep with this woman. I'll do it if I want to. And now I'll cover it up. And it don't matter to me if I've got to lose a man's life. It don't matter to me if I've got to send an order to put men on the front lines and then withdraw themselves from him. And, that's even poor strategy at war that you would do something like this. And so you see the pride. You see the stubbornness. He's not listening to God. He's not hearing God. You see the covetousness that's here. He's got a long list that's building up. And what I want you to see out of this, Brother Calvin, is David, at this point in his life, is now, he is messed up, but rather than go to the Lord, rather than repent, rather than get that cleansed up, cleaned up, that we see a man that was once spiritual, now he is spiraling out of control. One thing after another to try to cover up his transgression rather than go to the source. Rather than go to the source of our forgiveness. Rather than go to God and get that cleaned up, he has spiraled out of control. But now Nathan has come and he's revealed to him, God knows. God has sent me a message and God knows. And God sent you a message that you may have done this thing in secret, but now all of Israel's going to know about it. And there's no way you're going to conceal this matter. Everybody in Israel is going to know. And so, it breaks his heart. And God's word now has gotten a hold of David. This is what we need in church services. For God's word to get a hold of us. And to show us our need. And that's what's happened with David. A godly man, he's went through a period in his life where he's messed up, he's made some mistakes, he's made other mistakes to cover them up, but now God's word has convicted him, and let's see what's he going to do with it. You know, I mentioned the cleaning supplies a while ago. Nothing can replace a good shower at the end of a day, can it? What is it about a shower that just seems like it's able to fix all that? You go in from work, you're dirty, you're sweaty, you smell bad, you just feel aching and tired because you've worked all day, and then you go in and you get under that shower for a little bit, it's like you washed the day off. There's a need for us to be clean. David related his sin to the feeling of being dirty, but not just dirty, dirty on the inside. He talks about the inside. He said, you desire truth in the inward parts. Lord, I haven't been truthful. I'm dirty in here. I'm dirty on the inside. This is not a dirty that somebody walks by and sees. This is not a dirty that somebody walks by and tells me I got poor hygiene. This is a dirty on the inside. He said, Lord, you desire truth with the inward parts. And he goes on, he said, in my inward parts I have been foolish. He lets him know, I desire wisdom again. I've been foolish. I need to use wisdom. I'm tired of being foolish. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of trying to cover things up. All that is foolishness to you, God. I'm not trying to put words in David's mouth, but he's basically saying, God, that I know you know me. You see me. What am I doing trying to cover things up? He said, against thee only have I sinned. He's coming to an understanding. You know, I can cover everything up with everybody else in the world, but God knows. So between me and God, I have sinned. And so there's a need for him to be cleaned up. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Wash me thoroughly. Or thoroughly. Some may say thoroughly. Some say thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from sin. And then he says, purge me with hyssop. I already told you what hyssop is. You go back in the Old Testament and you find, you know, a house could get leprosy. That's just a strange thing. And you go back in, I believe it's in Leviticus in chapter 14, and I think it starts around verse 33 or 34, and read the next several verses, and you find out that a house can get leprosy. And as I begin to read that, Brother Brandon, it looks like he's talking about mold. The house can get mold. It talks about a green mold and a red mold. And if your house gets this leprosy, that you could take some blood from a bird and you could take and you could mix some hyssop with this and you go in and you apply it to that leprosy in the house and then close that thing up for 7 days. And then, of course, there's some other instructions. But I just want to get on our heart the thought that this hyssop was used in that manner. That you think about dirty mold. If our house gets mold, we want to do something with that. They condemn houses. They shut houses down if it's got, you know, that old bad black mold. You can condemn a house. And apparently, you can get all kind of health problems from it and everything else. And so, said use hyssop. So hyssop, again, that the mint family is used for a disinfectant. David said, Lord, I want you to purge me on the inside. Purge me with hyssop. I believe he's speaking spiritually there. God, I need you to come and you need to work me over good. You need to really clean me up because I am filthy on the inside. David looked at his sin in his life and he wanted God to clean him up on the inside. I want to ask you a question, each one of us individually here this morning. Do you need to be cleansed up on the inside? If you lost this morning, I want to try to separate that from for us that are saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. To be saved, to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that is salvation. Our soul is then saved, and there's a part of us that's perfect and cannot sin anymore. That's the part that we need to listen to. And yet there's still a part of us that can sin. There's a part of us that makes mistakes. And so we need to be washed with hyssop. We need to be cleansed by the washing of the waters of the Word. God's Word will cleanse us. Remember feet washing? He said, oh, Lord, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. No. And Jesus said, well, you know, if I don't do this, you have no part with me. And he said, well, then nevertheless, wash my head, wash everything. If that's the case. And he went on to tell him, he says, when we go through life, our feet get dirty. He's talking about sins we collect along the way. That still, we need repentance. We need to be cleansed of those things. See, sin, though you think about being lost, Christ's blood, we get saved, and yet many times we listen to that old flesh. We talk about that in Sunday school, maybe the flesh. And we listen to that old flesh. We do things that we would not, we shouldn't do, but we do them anyway. And there needs to be a way that we can be restored. And we're talking about fellowship between us and God can be restored. And so David is saying, look, the spirit within me it needs to be fixed. That created me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, Lord. I won't. To be reunited with you. I want to be, I want that fellowship to be restored. I want to continue to be that man after your own heart. So, how do we get there? We get there by coming clean, we get there by repentance. Is there something in your life that you have been trying to cover up? Is there something that has gone on long enough? Between you and the Lord, you have sinned and you need to be cleansed once more. Wouldn't it be refreshing to wash? Just have all that gone. The guilt. All the trying to hide it and everything. Just have all that gone. It'd be so refreshing to wash in the waters of the Word and just let the Lord clean you up real good today. All right, look over at Psalm 139. Verse 1, Psalms 139, verse 1. Says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. I want to tell you something about God. If there's something going on in your life that should not be there, God already knows. You may conceal it from the church. You may conceal it from your pastor. Your grand scheme of things, you know, I don't amount to much anyway. But sometimes we try to conceal things from one another. And look, it's pretty hard, especially in our day and time. Because we're not as social as we once were anyway. It's pretty easy to keep things concealed. Somebody says, you never know what goes on behind closed doors. I want to tell you what, a lot of times we're not even looking up to see what's going on in real life. And so, and not a lot of people paying attention many times. And so, it's not real hard to conceal things from other people. When it comes down to the grand scheme of things, what matters more than what other people think, though, is God. And God already knows. The moment you did it, the moment you messed up, the moment you allowed sin to creep in, God already knew that. He knows the dirt and the filth that may be there. And He isn't fooled by the efforts we try to play off our sin. God's not fooled by it. So this morning I said, what can I do? If I've sinned, if there's something that's there that shouldn't be there, what can I do? Should I act like it's not there? A lot of people doing that. Should I make excuses so I can feel better about my sin? A lot of people doing that. Well, I tell you what, I may be doing this, but at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so over here. That's the world we're living in today. That's how we are dealing with things. Point a finger at somebody else. Thing is, we can't do that with God, can we? God already knows. So look at Psalms 139 and verse 23. This is what David said after asking this, after mentioning these things. God knows my heart. He knows everything on my tongue. He knows what I'm going to say before I say it. So what can I do? All right, verse 23. This is David speaking to God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let God take us there. Instead of turning our head from the sin, instead of trying to cover it up, instead of trying to deflect or point in another direction, let's be willing to let God take us there. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be dealt with. Let God take us there and let Him purge us with that good old spiritual hyssop. Let His Word wash us and make us clean. You see, what I'm trying to get at this morning, repentance is not an ugly word. We hear the word repentance and we want to run from it. But even as a child of God, we allow things that we need to repent of. We need to turn away from. We need to turn back to God. And we need to trust God to help us. Repentance is a necessary requirement of humanity. Not just me, not just you, not just, you know, certain people. It is a requirement of humanity. You may look and say, well, I tell you what, I have things going on in my life and it seems like everybody else in this building is perfect. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us are sinners saved by the grace of God, I trust. Wouldn't that be wonderful if everybody in the building was saved? I don't know that it's that way. God knows your heart. Maybe you're lost. You need to trust Jesus. God already knows what you did. He already knows what you have not done. Not all sin is about what you've done. Sometimes it's about what we haven't done. God knows about that too. And He knows what you need to do. God knows that. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to be made clean? I know everybody here, I'm not saying, and I don't want you to think I am, I'm not saying everybody here is out of fellowship with God. I'm not saying everybody here has committed a church offense and needs to get that corrected. I don't know that anybody here has. I don't believe anybody here has. But you know your heart. And God does too. And if you're willing to go there with Him, allow Him to search you. Allow Him to show you what's there that shouldn't be there. And then willing to humble yourself in repentance. I tell you what, there's nothing better than feeling clean. Nothing better. I don't know your heart. God does. I tell you what, David was exposed though by the Word of God. His filth was revealed. And it broke him. It broke him. You remember whenever Peter was exposed, he felt like he was one thing. Jesus said, no, Peter, you're going to deny me before the night's over. You're going to deny me. Whenever he finally was exposed by the Word of God, he went out and he wept bitterly. It broke him. Sin is supposed to break us. We're supposed to hate it. We're supposed to eschew evil. We're supposed to hate it. The things that we would do, sometimes we do them not, according to Paul. Things that we would not, sometimes we do them, according to Paul. Who's going to deliver us? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me? You know who can? Christ. He can. I look at David. He made some mistakes. Boy, he made some big ones. He made some doozies. He did. But he had a desire to be restored. And I trust that we could humble ourselves and have a desire to be close to the Lord. If you will draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. If your house had mold, what would you do? So you may say, well, I look under my cabinet. I seen it the other day. A different kind of mold, I guess. Some of it we're not as scared of as others. But, boy, if the house is mold and you're starting to get sick and hair falling out and all that kind of stuff, you look at that mold and say, we got to do something about this. We got to clean it up. Let's purge it. And maybe come to a place that we got to move out. But you're not going to stay there and just let it destroy you. If your tabernacle, this old tent that we live in, if it's molded, if it's sinful, do us good to let God cleanse us. Now, if you're lost, I want to encourage you, let the blood of Jesus wash you white as snow here today. You can do that, but in order for that to happen, you are going to have to put your faith in Jesus. You're saved. That's for sure.